On one occasion, as our Lord Jesus Christ was preparing the disciples for his impending death, burial, and resurrection, he gathered those disciples around himself and he said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Jesus Christ provided for each and every one of his disciples and continues to provide today peace that passes all understanding, a peace that surpasses any kind of emotion the world today could offer. And our Lord Jesus Christ desired for his disciples and desires for us today that we would live with peace in our hearts and confidence in our hearts towards him. In fact, he mentions that in verse 21, then we would have confidence toward God. Now, when a Christian feels a lack of peace in his heart or a lack of confidence in his heart, it is not then because God hates you and wants you to be nervous and wants you to have tension in your life. In fact, just the opposite is true. God wants you to enjoy his peace today. If a Christian today has a lack of confidence or a lack of joy in his heart, it's not because their church family wants them to feel that way. It's not because their pastor wants them to feel that way. But it is often because there has been disobedience or rebelliousness in the heart that we find our heart condemning us. We find our heart speaking against us. We could also call that being convicted in our conscience that something is wrong between us and God. Now, I want you to notice something about having assurance in your heart that things are right between you and God. Notice, first of all, in chapter 2 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." The Bible is very clear. Hereby do we know that we know. How do we have that kind of knowledge or assurance in our hearts? Well, if we keep his commandments. And so first of all, when a Christian is keeping the commandments of God and obeying God in his everyday life, there's an assurance that he's living right. But then notice, if you would, over in chapter 3 and verse number 18 once again. "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know," there's that phrase again, "hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Now, here the context is that when we are loving the brethren in deed and truth, we're going to know, we're going to be assured of the fact that we're living the way God wants us to live. So these verses indicate that spiritual confidence develops in our heart, number one, as I obey the commandments of God, and secondly, as I love my brother in Christ the way that God wants me to. So our assurance or confidence in heart as Christians depends upon, first of all, my obedient relationship to God, and secondly, my loving relationship with a brother and sister in Christ. Now, if I am not right with God, if I'm disobeying God, then the text says that my heart is going to accuse me. There's going to be conviction that's come into my heart. And if you are saved today and you have ever disobeyed the word of God, and most of us have who are saved, then your heart has accused you. You have felt the convicting power of God. And by the way, if you have felt that, thank God that you're still able to feel it. Because there are some Christians who grieve the Spirit to the point that it's almost as though they can sin and hardly ever feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And if they were ever saved in the first place, they have come to a place of quenching the Spirit to such a point they hardly know right from wrong in their everyday life. But we see our relationship with God and our obedient relationship with God, and then our relationship to others in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, has a great deal to do with our foundation for confident Christian living. And if I'm not right with God, my heart accuses me. If I'm not right with someone else, my heart is going to accuse me. And mark it down today. A believer's relationship with someone else can affect his relationship with God. A lot of times people say, "Well, everything's okay between me and God. Never mind the fact that I hate my wife. God and I are doing great. We've got this deal all worked out." But you know, 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us something a little bit different, fellas. It says that if we're not right with our wives, our prayer life is hindered. So the fact is that when there's something wrong between me and a brother or sister in Christ, then it does affect my relationship with God. In fact, the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, he was teaching some Jewish people and he was trying to help them understand that if they had a proud, hypocritical heart, that they couldn't come and worship him and really mean it. And he said to them, if you come to the altar and you bring a sacrifice unto God, but into your mind you remember the fact that there's something wrong between you and someone else. The Bible says, Jesus said, what they needed to do was go and make it right with that person and then bring the sacrifice to the altar. They needed to go apologize, they needed to go make things right, and then they could come and they could offer sacrifice to the Lord. If I'm going to have confidence and assurance that my life is close with the Lord, if I'm going to have assurance before God or confidence before God, I must, number one, according to chapter 2, be obeying His commandments. I must, secondly, according to chapter 3, have love in my heart towards the brethren, and not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Now then, an obedient Christian is one who obeys God's commandments and who loves in deed and truth. And with obedience and love as the foundation, we can now see how a Christian life can flourish in a walk of confidence toward God. And if we'll understand these two foundational principles, we can really build on it today. Now notice with me then, three principles to add to this foundation. First of all, notice with me in the scriptures that an obedient Christian can have confidence in a powerful God. If you're living an obedient Christian life, you will have confidence in a powerful God. Look at verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Now, sometimes our heart will condemn us because we've sinned. That's called conviction. That's the Lord reminding us that we have grieved Him or we have violated the truth of His Word. And when our heart condemns us, that's not something to take lightly. But on the same token, we should not spend so much time in the guilt and in the loss of joy and fellowship as we meditate over the sin or as we meditate over the heart that's been heavy. What we need to do is bring this to the Lord because the Lord is greater than our heart. 1 John 1:9 indicates to us that if we'll confess that sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, God is greater than our heart and His mercy is greater than our heart. I think about the fact of verse number 20. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Aren't you glad that nearly 2,000 years ago, our great God made a provision for sin? He made that provision at Calvary. And when Satan comes to accuse us, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think a great example of this is found in the Old Testament as you study the tabernacle. Many of you will recall from studying the book of Exodus and studying the Old Testament that the tabernacle held the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant also contains some items. And one of those was the tablets of the law of Moses. And there were the Ten Commandments inside the Ark of the Covenant. Now, those Ten Commandments were a constant reminder to the Jews of their failure. And by the way, that's what the law shows us. It shows us our need for Christ. It shows us that we all fall short of the glory of God. And for the Jews especially, it reminded them of the time when Moses was communing with God at Mount Sinai and they were down gathering together around a golden calf and disobeying most everything that God was giving to Moses. And so those commandments were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, a constant reminder of failure. But if you've also studied the upper portion of the Ark of the Covenant, you're reminded that a large mass of gold created something called the mercy seat, and that that mercy seat covers the entire length of the Ark of the Covenant, and that it was on that mercy seat that on the Day of Atonement the high priest would sprinkle the blood, and there atonement was made for the sin of the children of Israel. And the picture is wonderful today if we'll understand it. Though the Ten Commandments condemned and remind of failure, the mercy seat reminded them of the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God today that God is greater than our heart. Now, that doesn't mean we belittle the Ten Commandments. That doesn't mean we abuse our liberty and live a life of sin. But it does mean that when our heart condemns us, God has provided a way of forgiveness, and God is greater than our heart. His mercy is everlasting. Not only is His mercy greater, but His omniscience is greater. God is all-knowing. And I want you to see that in verse 20, where the Bible says, "And that God knoweth all things." Friend, it's very simple, but God knew every sin you and I would ever commit before they were committed. And there is nothing today that you can surprise God with. God loved you in that while you were yet a sinner, God loved you and Christ died for you. And so we see today that His mercy is great and His knowledge is great. And then notice in verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." Now, here's a wonderful verse. If you're living a life in such a way that you're abstaining from the things God would have you to abstain from, and you're obeying God and trusting God, the Bible says your heart is not going to condemn you, and then you will have confidence toward God. But if our heart is condemning us, that confidence wanes. And that's why when our heart condemns us, we need to bring it to the Lord and we need to leave it there and cast all of our care upon Him, confess our sin to Him, and understand that He has great power and that we can have confidence in the power of God to forgive sin. Now, an obedient Christian has then confidence in the power of God. Listen. Our confidence is not in ourselves. It's not in our ability to manipulate. Our confidence is in the power of God who has promised the forgiveness for our sin. Notice secondly, an obedient Christian can have confidence then in the power of prayer. First of all, we can have confidence in the power of God. Secondly, in the power of prayer. Now notice, if you would, what the Bible says in verse 22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Now, an obedient Christian, someone who's living in obedience toward God and has a clear conscience in their heart, is one who is going to be able to pray in a very bold manner. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:19 that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace, and having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies. Do you realize today that God wants you to pray boldly when you come to Him? God wants you to speak to Him with boldness of heart because of the work of Jesus Christ. Now here we see we can have confidence in our prayer. And the Bible says, "Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him." That's pretty strong. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. We see from this, first of all, that we should pray a concise prayer. The term there, whatsoever, tells us that we're to pray specifically about the requests that we have in our life. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." In other words, their prayers were just sort of shotgun prayers. Their prayers were not according to God's will. Their prayers were amiss. And oftentimes the prayers of Christians are so generalized, they're so shotgunned or so selfish that God is not pleased and they're not praying according to His will. But we're to pray specifically for those things that are according to His will. That's what it means when it says, whatsoever we ask. Every day of my life, I pray for certain things specifically. And I pray specifically in my own life. I don't just say, "Lord, help me to be a good guy today." But I ask the Lord to help me to die to myself. Help me to be filled with His Spirit. That I would make the Lord Jesus Christ Lord of my life. That I would live a life of unfeigned faith. And I list out several other things that I pray specifically for myself. Every day of my life, I pray specifically for my wife and children. I pray for my wife, Terry, and I pray for her health, and I pray for her spiritual walk, and I pray for my daughters, Danielle and Christine, and my sons, Larry and Matthew. I pray for their health and their spiritual growth. I pray for their future mates someday. But I pray specifically. Every day I pray specifically for folks in our church family that are hospitalized, that are having trials, that have had loss of family and friends. And I pray for those that are asterisked on our church prayer list who are in the hospital. And every day I pray specifically for our church building program. Now some folks might say, "Oh, those are silly things to pray about." No, that's better than just saying rub-a-dub-dub, bless the grub. That's better than saying, "God bless all the missionaries. Why don't you learn some of their names?" That's better than saying, God, help the church someday to get built. No, let's learn how to say whatsoever ye ask. And if you'll think of it today, there's some specific things you need answers to prayer on too. And you can find that an obedient Christian has confidence in the power of prayer. And one of the reasons many Christians doubt prayer and they don't pray specifically is because there's so much sin in their lives that they really realize in their life, why could I ask God for something? I'm not living for Him. But when you're living for God, you can pray concisely. And you can expect God to answer the prayer. It is a concise prayer. Now, there is a condition to this prayer. And the condition is found in verse 22 when the Bible says, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, there are other conditions found in Scripture concerning prayer. We've already mentioned one. We're to pray according to His will. And here we see that we're to keep His commandments and please Him. We're to keep His commandments and please Him. One man came to his pastor sometime back and he said, Pastor, I have a grown son that's wayward. He said he's not saved. He said, I'm so burdened that he would come to Christ. And he said, Pastor, I've been praying and praying that my son would be saved. And the pastor felt led of the Lord just to share some scripture with him. And he shared with him Psalm 66:18. And in Psalm 66:18, David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's a pretty powerful verse. And the pastor said, he said, sir, he said, I'm not saying there is anything in your heart displeasing to the Lord. But he said, I just want to challenge you that if there's something in your life that's not pleasing to God, He's not going to hear this prayer request. He's not going to answer it, because if you're regarding iniquity, if you're harboring something evil in your heart, then God won't hear the prayer. Well, the man began to think about it. And the Lord laid on his heart another man in the church. And how that some time back they'd had a little run-in, and how that in his mind he thought about this man. He said, I'll just write that guy off as one of those kinds. And he had been harboring in his heart some ill thoughts about that man. And so he went to the man and he went to him and said, you know, we had that little run-in a few months ago and it's kind of brushed over. But he said, I just want you to know that it's not right and God's convicted me of it. I want you to forgive me. He asked the man to forgive him. The man forgave him. Within 1 month, his son accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And sometimes the reason that our prayers are not answered is because we're regarding iniquity in our heart. And the Bible says in verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we will receive of Him. Why? Because we keep His commandments and because we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's what Jesus meant in John 15:7 when He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. I don't know about you folks, but if your children were disobedient one day at home. Let's say you told them to clean the room and they threw every toy they had out on the floor. You told them to clean the backyard and they threw everything around and threw rocks at the neighbor's window and broke it. You told them to clean the garage and they went in there and started the car, put it in reverse and tore your garage door down. And after doing all of that, they came to you and said, Dad, would you take me to Walmart and buy me some toys tonight? Chances are pretty slim we're going to Walmart to buy toys. Because you're not going to reward his rebelliousness. You're not going to reward his disobedience. And the Bible says that an obedient Christian has confidence in his prayer because he's been obeying the Lord. He's been pleasing Christ. And that's why the phrase in verse 22 that says that our pleasing in his sight is so important. That's why I need to live every day of my life. And you need to live every day of your life saying, Lord, does this please you? Lord, does this relationship please you? Lord, does this television show please you? Lord, does this business deal please you? Lord, I want to please you. Because at any moment we could find ourselves in a hospital somewhere needing God's power, needing an answer to prayer for some loved one, and because we're regarding sin in our heart or we've transgressed against God, there'll be a loss of confidence in this matter of prayer. And so obedient Christians have confidence in the power of prayer. Now we saw first of all today that an obedient Christian has confidence in the power of God. He is greater than our heart. And secondly, confidence in the power of prayer. And then notice thirdly with me, obedient Christians have confidence or assurance in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. In the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice if you would in verse 23. And this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of His Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us, that he died on the cross for us. The Bible says in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Someone says, how do you know that God loves you? Because Jesus died for me. And that's why the Bible says in verse 23 that we are commanded that we should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe on Jesus Christ, at that very moment, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in the life of the believer. And the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, bears witness in our hearts, gives assurance in our hearts that we are the children of God. Now, some people today really have trouble comprehending the term Holy Spirit of God. In fact, whenever we hear the word spirit these days, it has to do with some New Age philosophy or some, you know, Indian chant or something of that nature. By the way, there's nothing new about the New Age. It's just Eastern mysticism and Hinduism come to America. People have been worshiping rocks for hundreds of years in pagan cultures. America is becoming more pagan. That's why New Age philosophy is becoming more prevalent. But people think about the Holy Spirit, and they misunderstand what that term means. I read recently again about Sedona, Arizona. Sedona, Arizona has become the New Age capital of America. In fact, one brochure said recently, it's a place to have harmony with the spirits of this world. Now, folk, as a Christian, we don't want to live in harmony with the spirits of this world. We want to live in harmony with the Holy Spirit of God. You see, for everything genuine that God has given to us, Satan will offer a counterfeit. And that's what's happening in the New Age movement today. In fact, this brochure telling about this place where you can live in harmony with the spirits of the world says here are some things you can find in this New Age community. You can find psychics, spiritual counseling, medicine card readings, aura photography, astrology, rapid eye technology, where they look into your eyes with a light and then read a chart and tell you of your past. Clairvoyant readings, hypnotherapy, shamanic healings, parapsychology, lymphatic manipulations, crystal readings, aura cleansing, reflexology, sensory deprivation, tank floating. All of these things are Satan's substitutes for the power of prayer and the person of the Holy Spirit of God. You and I need to realize today that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking not about some spirit of this world, but we're talking about the third person of the Trinity who is grieved when we sin, who convicts us when we sin, who guides us to understand the Bible, who comforts us in time of trial and distress. And the Holy Spirit of God gives to us confidence concerning the presence of God in our lives. Now, before you will ever know the confidence of the Holy Spirit of God, you must first know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible tells us in verse 23, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God. And if you're here this morning and you don't have confidence about your relationship with God, you're not even sure that you would go to heaven someday when this life is over, let me encourage you to put your faith in the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. Just to come to the Lord and confess that you're a sinner and say, Lord, I can't forgive myself. I can't take myself to heaven, but I come to you and I confess you as my Savior. I accept you as my Savior today. The Bible tells us here to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard it before, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth on him. That means total trust in Christ. Not Jesus plus the Baptist church. Not Jesus plus the catechism. Not Jesus plus a tongues experience. Not Jesus plus anything else. But whosoever believeth on Jesus Christ alone shall have everlasting life. And then the Bible says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God. It's very simple. When someone receives Christ as Savior and they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment they are born again. They become a child of God. They receive the Spirit of God in their life. But someone that believes not is condemned already. Let me encourage you today. Don't put it off. Don't say you'll take care of it on your deathbed or some other day. But take care of it today while there's time to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. As the New Age philosophy makes its way now into our public schools and meditation and getting in touch with the spirit world enters into corporate training and stress relief tapes, it doesn't matter how many rocks you worship, how many crystals you collect, how many reflexology sensory deprivation tanks you float in, you are condemned without Jesus Christ. So I don't need some Baptist telling me I'm condemned. I'm not just telling you as a Baptist. The Bible says you're condemned. But thank God you don't have to be. There's new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the new life we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you believe, according to verse number 23, then you will receive the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 24, the Bible says, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, when you believe on Jesus Christ, he gives to you and to me the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that God dwell in you. One of the characteristics of the child of God is that the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in his life. Paul said to the Corinthian church, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You and I today as Christians realize that our body is the residing place of the Holy Spirit of God. And a Christian will realize confident Christian living because of chapter 4 and verse number 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we have confidence today through the person of the Holy Spirit of God, because greater is he that is in me, the Holy Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. And Satan would love for people to follow after the spirits of this world, but when we trust Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in our life. And hear me today. We're not here to condemn you. But sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts us, and sometimes we feel uncomfortable. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, you need the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit saying to a Christian, you need to get back to the Lord. And our heart condemns us, but God is greater than our heart. And God says, listen, if you're convicted of sin, I have something to take care of that. And it's called salvation through Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you today. Don't say, I don't like this preaching. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Why don't you realize that God today is pricking your heart so that you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, you see today, there is confidence and there is assurance to those who come to Christ as Savior and to those who obey him and trust him each and every day.